Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Hey, John.
Hey, hey, hello, hello, fellas. So excited to be with you today, and we want to make sure that we give our shout-outs to all of our new VFN Radio listeners that have joined us. Want to give a shout-out to Mariah and Clarence and Ricky and Ray and Alfred, John and Lori and Rebecca and Regina and Judy and Olga and David. And, oh, my goodness, this is so cool to just every single day just see how many people join us and how we're interacting. We love to hear your comments and your posts. And, my goodness, this is so, so amazing. And how we're all just doing this together, you know. It's just we're all meeting at this time of encouragement, if you will. But, you know, I was wanted to share this with you guys. I don't know if you guys heard this, and our VFN Radio listeners, or maybe you've more like an experience, but have you ever experienced a tragic event in your life? Something that, you know, everything was fine one day, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops. You know, you get the phone call. You know, you get the text that says, call me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get the news. They lay it on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how your head can be spinning, your heart can be pounding and hurting, and it feels like everything is slowing down to a complete halt. Only within maybe what appears to be a few seconds or minutes of shock, everything begins to race again like the speed of light, with all the possible ramifications of what just transpired.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, God, 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 God. Well, this happened to a man called Horatio Spafford. And you may or may not be familiar with who he is, but you might probably be familiar with one of the songs that he wrote. He wrote a song called It Is Well With My Soul.
Mm.
And he wrote this song in one of the most darkest hours of his life. And, you know, it's so important to understand that, you know, we all experience tragedy at some point in our life. It's just part of living. It's just part of being human being.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't experienced a tragedy, you've probably known someone who has experienced a tragedy.
That's right.
And we want to be able to comfort those, and we want to know how to find comfort ourselves, right, when these tragic moments do happen. And that there is a hope. There is a hope. There is a comfort that comes. Well, Horatio Spafford, it's kind of amazing. Is this man suffered, you know, almost unimaginable personal loss and tragedy. And him and his wife, Anna, they were well known in the 1860s, okay? I mean, this song, by the way, It Is Well With My Soul, I mean, this song's been around for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man lived in the 1860s. And,
oh, wow.
And only to imagine that, I mean, I don't know how many even newer, latest, and I mean, we're living in the 21st century now. And I mean, we just heard a Cutlass perform this song, sing this song. I know Chris Lewis has a version, and I don't know how many other versions exist out there. But so many people have kind of remade this song, if you will, this hymn, because it's kind of an old classic type of hymn. But what most people don't know is how this song even came to happen, how this song even came about. And so Horatio and his wife Anna, they were well known in 1860s in Chicago, and he had a legal career, and he had a whole bunch of business endeavors, you know, in the area. And he was also a pretty big supporter of the evangelist, the great evangelist, D.L. Moody. Mm-hmm. And during the 1870s, things began to start to go wrong in their life. Their only son was killed by scarlet fever at the age of 4. Mm. You know, it's like, wow. I think about all the tragedies that so many people have suffered in years, times ago, that modern medicine today has been able to avoid. But death during that time was something that seemed pretty, you know, pretty common. Mm-hmm. And at 4, they lose their only son. A year later, they had a fire, a tragic fire. And he had invested heavily in real estate, and it just kind of tore up everything that he had built. I mean, it wiped out. In fact, it was in 1871. It was known as the Great Chicago Fire.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, so he had most of his stuff just totally, you know, wiped out, all of his holdings, and this disaster took a major, you know, effect on him. He lost his son, then he loses, you know, all his real estate holdings, and so him and his wife decided that him and their 4 daughters, they were going to join D.L. Moody in England, and just kind of, you know, help him out and you know, help with the evangelistic campaigns and what was going on in Britain. And so him and his wife, they had planned to join him in this, you know, on 1873 or so. So the whole family traveled to New York in the month of November to catch this French steamer called Ville de Havre. Best I can do, guys. Sorry. Okay. They were about to get on this boat, this ship, right, to take them all the way across the Atlantic. And at the last minute, before the ship is about to set sail and go, you know, business development happened and Horatio had to be delayed. He's like, I can't go. But you know, he didn't want to ruin the family's trip. You can only imagine, I mean, how much time it took to prepare to go on a ship, you know, not on a plane. Right. It takes a lot just to get my family on a plane, much less, you know, this is a major thing. She says, listen, I don't want to put a wrench in all this. You guys go ahead and go. And, you know, I'll meet up with you guys. So Anna, his wife, left with their 4 daughters. They were headed to Europe, and then Spafford goes back to Chicago. Well, 9 days later, I guess, imagine how long it takes to cross the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. 9 days later, he receives a telegram, not a text, not a phone call, from his wife in Wales. Uh-huh. And it reads, saved alone. That's it, saved alone. What happened was that on the way there, their ship collided with another ship. And it sank in 12 minutes.
Wow.
226 people died when the ship sank. And Anna, the wife, you know, it's reported that her and her four daughters stood there on the deck, and they were desperately, you know, clinging on to her. And her last memory, think about this, her last memory is having her baby violently torn from her arms by the force of the waters.
Mm.
Can you imagine you're holding, your boat is shaking, and all of a sudden the waves and just the water just sweeps your child out of your arms, and I'm sure you're grasping as hard, mm-hmm, as you can. And sad to say that Anna was the only one that was saved. It said that some sort of plank fell on the, you know, came underneath her head, and she was unconscious, and it propped her head up, and she floated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they were able to rescue her.
Amazing. Wow. You have any idea how old the daughters were?
No, I don't. I don't know how old the daughters were, but you know, her first reaction was, of course, you know, it's reported she was in total despair. And then she heard a voice speak to her. And it says that she just reported that God basically said, listen, no, it wasn't God. It says she heard a voice speak to her. It says, you were spared for a purpose. I'm sorry, it was God. And she immediately recalled, this is what I'm trying to say. I mean, immediately she recalled the words of a friend. It is easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you're not a fair weather friend to God. Mm. And God spoke to her, and then God reminded her of the words a friend had spoken to her. And these are people that lived a really affluent life. They were blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they were, you know, volunteering, supporting one greatest evangelists, you know, you know, church history. I mean, Dale Moody was just an amazing man of God.
Right.
And, you know, her friend tells her that it's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much. But take care. Take care that you're not a fair weather friend to God. And so, you know, Horatio hears what happened. He boards, you know, the ship to New York to, you know, get to his wife. Their daughter later on explains that the survivor, the baby survivor, explains that on her father's trip, you know, on the ship, the captain of the ship, you know, called him over and says, this is where it happened, basically. This is where you lost your daughters. This is where it happened.
Oh.
And it is said that Horatio just, you know, leaves with his head down and he goes into his cabin. And when he goes into his cabin, he's abiding on 2 Kings 4:26, and this is about how the Shunammite woman lost, you know, her only child, and the word says she was vexed within her.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that experience, that tragedy, he writes this classic hymn. I mean, he just writes this, and the first few lines of this hymn says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." And you think about all the sorrows. This is a family that has lost their first only son. They've had four daughters. They lose their only son to scarlet fever.
Mm-hmm.
You have this wealthy guy who's done well and is well known, and then he loses most of his real estate holdings not too long after they lose their son.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're getting ready to go to, you know, they said, "Look, we're going to shut everything down. We're going to go ahead and just support, you know, what D.L. Moody's doing out there and these evangelistic campaigns, and we're just going to get lost in the things of God." And on the way out there, he loses four daughters.
Mm. Horrific.
At least four daughters. And that pain that they you know, he personally experienced, I'm sure, and the mother experienced, but there, you know, it's tragic. He goes into this cabin and he begins to abide and spend time with God. And he says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." And you think about the comfort that God was able to give him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, there are things that happen in your life that you just go, "Oh my goodness, how, you know, am I going to ever make it through this?
Mm-hmm.
Can we make it through this?" And to know that God was there to comfort him, that God was there to strengthen him to the point that he pens out this, just, I mean, a classic hymn that's been around since the 1800s that we are still singing today. Mm-hmm. It is well with my soul. It reminds me of 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And let me tell you that no matter what tragedy you have faced or maybe even facing right now, today, that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. God wants to be there for you and to love on you and to help you through your difficult and challenging times. I mean, to the point that maybe you too can say like Horatio, it is well. It is well with my soul. And God wants to comfort you and to love on you and to strengthen you during the time. I mean, there's nothing like being able to cry out to God, to the one who sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time, to the omnipotent, all-powerful God. God knows everything. And we may not understand why tragedy happens. We may not understand different things that occur. But let me tell you something. You know what? We can rest. We can rest in the fact that God is God. You know, when Job was going through all of his trials and didn't understand, he lost his family. You know, his wife was trying to get him to curse God and die.
That's right.
You know, and he was personally attacked in his own body. He said, no, no, no. One thing I do know, I know God. 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 And I will not turn my back against him. I will not question him. You know, God is good. And we can try to wreck our brains to try to figure why and who and what. But you know what? It's so much easier and better just to say, God, I'm going to leave this with you. I'm not going to worry myself and agitate my mind and my emotions and stir those things up. I'm going to rest in your arms. I'm going to rest in your love. I'm going to rest in your comfort. And I'm going to allow you to bring me from this state to a place of healing, to a place of comfort, to a place of peace. And there's nothing, nothing like the peace of God when you've been through the fire. We'll be right back.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com. Go to the VFN TV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFN TV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, "These people are just way too perfect for me to come around them," then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the first hour is Pat and Chris. And we were just talking about the comfort that God Almighty provides to us when we cry out to Him. Mm. We want to be able to say, "It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul."
Amen.
You know, there's nothing like going after God, you know, experiencing God's comfort when you know Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that's good. I've seen so many people, you know, in tragedy, and that they didn't know God at all, and they're trying to fit the pieces together, and that's really, really difficult. You know, if
yeah, it's amazing.
You want to know God. You want to know God. In fact, you know, some of us, we have wrote our stories. You can go to meetmyfather.org and how we met God and how we decided to choose Him and make Him the Lord of our lives and you know, our Savior. And I want to encourage you that, you know, you're familiar with the things of God and you know of God and you're searching back for God, but you don't know God. You can know Him. You can know Him, but you have to make that decision. You have to make that choice, and you have to say, and you have to have a definitive moment in your life where the line has been drawn, and you say, "You know what? Today I'm going to choose Jesus." Oftentimes, people don't have that definitive moment. It's like, "Well, I kind of, and I go to church, and I'm not." Do you know Him?
Mm.
Do you know Him? When was the day that you said, "Listen, I'm not going to play church anymore. I'm not going to, you know, be thinking that just because I know something about God that it's all good." And no, I'm going to say, "You know what? I need the Lord, and I'm making a choice. I'm making a decision today to turn away from my life of sin and the things that I've been doing that separated me from God, that's divided me from His love." And I say, "You know what? I'm going after Him. Mm-hmm. I want Him now." You can make that decision today.
Amen.
You can make that decision today. Go to meetmyfather.org. Guys, I don't know if you saw this, but you know, just recently, Mark Burnett, I mean, this guy's an amazing producer, he's produced a bunch of television programs.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, they aired the very first segment, I believe, the very first story or program out of a 10-part miniseries of the Bible.
Oh, wow.
And man, everybody's talking about this. I mean, Mark Burnett and his wife, they're Christians, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they had a burden to they feel a call to see this come to pass. And you're looking at just amazing quality and just kind of a newness to what's been done before. Mm-hmm. And the fact, we have a brief interview that we want you to hear their own personal story on how they got onto this endeavor and what their hopes are as a result of putting the Bible now on TV. Listen up.
Remember me by doing this. I'm going to the Father, but I will always be with you.
Hollywood couple Mark Burnett and Roma Downey have joined forces with the History Channel to create an epic 10-hour miniseries called The Bible.
It's Jesus!
When you look at a project of this magnitude and this scope, how do you boil the Bible down into 10 hours? How do you do that?
It took us a couple of years, really, and we got the advice of many theologians and advisors and figured out that it should be a through-line narrative, God's love for all of us, Genesis through Revelation.
From the moment Adam and Eve fell from grace, we have been a people wanting to get back in connection with God. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the themes that we felt we really wanted to see through those Old Testament characters. Mm-hmm. We see each of them attempting connection and failing, attempting connection and failing. And so God so loved us that he sends Jesus for us. And our New Testament narrative begins with the birth of Jesus, who comes and brings us home. And so that was the connective love story that we wanted to tell. We only had 10 hours, so we had to condense the stories. It ended up really, it's more of an introduction to the Bible.
In tackling a production of this magnitude, great care was taken to make the finished product look and feel authentic.
We went to Wazazat, which is about 3 or 4 hours drive down over the Atlas Mountains out to the edge of the Sahara. And we chose this location because it allowed us to achieve these beautiful biblical landscapes.
There's no way to replace some of those epic kasbahs, which, you know, look like they belong, and probably do belong, 2,000 years ago.
We want to make the Bible come to life with fresh visual imagery for this generation. So we gathered to us just the best in the business. We have the best CGI, Oscar-winning team who created the special effects for Gladiator.
Portuguese actor Diogo Morgado plays the role of Jesus Christ. When you were approached about doing this role as a performer, as an actor, what went through your mind?
I think the first thought was, I can't do it, honestly. It's like, this is too much.
You will all fall away.
We're not just telling a story, you know? We're trying to touch people's hearts. We're telling a story that people live by. I grew up knowing the Bible. I grew up believing in Jesus Christ. So with the fact that my own faith and my own beliefs getting involved is like, how can I do someone that I know so well? What should we do? Should we go to the thing that people know about or just sharing your own experience, you know? So I think I try to do it both a little bit.
It has begun.
In their years of successful work in Hollywood, Mark and Roma say this project is one of the most powerful productions they've ever worked with.
It's human, it's connective, it's beautiful. And then through the whole thing, it's this heartbeat of faith, this heartbeat of God's love. The project was made to glorify God.
Wow, powerful. I mean, powerful. My understanding is they have the stories in the Bible of Abraham, and last night was the first night. You want to check your local cable listings, but they have the story of Abraham and Joshua, I believe Samson and Delilah, Jesus, and it's just amazing to see. I mean, just the quality. If you look at the trailers alone, you think of, man, this is pretty good. Abraham looks pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
But it's always cool just to kind of see the Bible acted out and the stories and the accounts that we've actually have read for so long, just to see them played on kind of on the big screen. This is a really awesome thing, and I really am encouraged by Mark Burnett and his wife and their stand. I believe she's an actress as well.
Yeah, she was actually in a TV miniseries. I don't know, about 10 years. Yeah, Touched by an Angel, about 10 years ago.
That was really popular.
Yeah, it was really popular for a long time.
Yeah, I think the guy from Little House on the Prairie was on it too, wasn't he? Michael Landon or something?
No.
He wasn't on it?
That was a different one.
That's something else. Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't watch that much. So. Well, the cool thing is that I heard him in another interview. Somebody asked him, said, listen, you have 5 number one programs out there. Why have you decided to be the face of this program? We don't know you to be the face of the other programs. Most people don't even know what other programs he's made. But why are you out here heavily promoting this Bible miniseries that you've joined with History Channel? He says, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I feel like I'm called to do this. I'm supposed to do this.
Wow.
And he believes that there's going to be even more biblical movies. In fact, right now they're working on Noah's Ark. It's supposed to be an epic, amazing. I think Russell Crowe's in that movie. It's supposed to be a major, major epic movie. And Mark Burnett feels that over the five to ten years, you're going to see amazing, amazing biblical movies. And he says he believes he's just on the beginning, on the forefront of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool. I think another thing too is that one of their hearts, because when you're in that type of field, that they said, we showed our kids the Ten Commandments, the movie The Ten Commandments, and the graphics were, 40-year-old graphics and a little cheesy, and our kids are like, what is this?
Yeah, right, their cartoons got more graphics than that.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what they do, that's their thing. So they're like, wait a minute, we can do something that's going to add justice and quality. And what's so cool about that, no matter where you are as a believer, you have influence. You have the opportunity to do things with excellence that glorifies God, and that you have a way to do well. There's a platform for you. There is a platform where God can be glorified, and you can do things with excellence, and people can look and say, wow, that's pretty amazing. You think about athletes, we've talked about Tim Tebow and Jeremy Lin and Ari Dickey and, some of these guys that are so outspoken about their walk with the Lord. And I really believe some of these guys have kicked in a door that now there's so many other, I'm hearing like a bunch of these college students now that are sold out for God and they play sports and they're really out vocal about what they believe of God. You see different people in different aspects of careers. Let me tell you something. God's allowed you to be at that job, at that location, at that business for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And use it to glorify God. Don't shrink back. But I love what a leader said on the call we had this week. She said, listen, this is who I am. She has scriptures on her board at work. And she says, and she's very successful. And she says, I cannot separate my success from my walk, basically, with Jesus Christ. I cannot do that. I refuse to do that. And I'm willing to take whatever comes with it. And I'm thinking, wow, I love that. Yeah. I'm saying, I love that. And so be encouraged and being challenged and get a chance. If you get a chance to watch the Bible series, it's wonderful. Get the family around it. And maybe you can DVR if you can't catch it, you know, and watch it at a time where you can. But this is good programming to watch with the family, right?
Definitely. Good
rest assured.
Yeah,
you know,
compared to what else is on television, it's definitely.
Well, yeah, I think the Bible's safe. I think the Bible's safe. Yeah. My goodness.
Exactly. Man, that's a beautiful man. You know, I was spending some time with the Lord the other morning, and I mean, God just really, really spoke to me about the book of Jude. Mm. You know, I didn't realize, or I just forgot, put it that way. You know, Jude was actually one of Jesus' brothers, and which was also the brother of James.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting how he starts off the book of Jude. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Doesn't even mention that he's actually one of the brothers, Jesus' brother too.
Wow.
And that's how humble he was. You know, he didn't want to even compare himself, you know, to Jesus.
Yeah.
But what really stood out to me was in verse 3, he says, Dear friends, he says, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. You know, that word contend really jumped out at me, and I looked it up to see what it meant, to give me more context what he's saying here. And when he says contend for it, There's a lot of meaning behind that. He's talking about it's going to be a fight. When you're contending for something that important, like the faith, you know.
Yeah.
And back then, I mean, it was a fight, man. You got to fight for your life. Because you were looking at, you know, you just didn't know what was going to be knocking at your door one day to the next. Right. And you got people like Saul of Tarsus running around trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
You just didn't know what was up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And you look up contend, it means to fight, to battle, to clash, confront, to contest, dispute, give all that you've got, go for broke, to lock horns, push, resist, stand, to strive, to struggle, to tangle with. You know what I'm saying? That's not some light, you know, fluffy, you know, statement there he's talking about. And Jesus even said in Matthew 11, he says, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever gone through those moments in life where you just feel like you just got to shake yourself. You know, you've gotten so accustomed and comfortable, I guess, and you know where you're at, and all of a sudden you're just like in a daze almost. You're just operating. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You almost forgotten your purpose and what God truly is, you know, what truly God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oftentimes that's an attack. That's
the enemy's attack, like you said.
Yeah. That's a sign that something's not going right. Maybe, you know, the biting slipped off.
Mm-hmm.
You're under attack. There's a haze. Yeah. And before you know, it's like, where's my Bible? It's like, wait, what happened? You know, what mm-hmm. how did you get from the place where you're abiding to the place where you're now you're cloudy, you have no vision, you're,
right.
you know, you can't see, it's almost a lethargic, and it's that sailing. Big majority, you know, a large majority of the church is like, where's my Bible? I mean, 19%, you know, only reading the word, but it's interesting what you're saying about contending and what the word says about contending.
Exactly.
Powerful.
It is. It's awesome. I mean, you think about it, because Satan, our enemy, he goes like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So he's never sleeping. He's always looking to take you out.
Wow.
So and a lot of times he's using all kinds of things. You know, he'll put you to sleep with television. He'll put you to sleep with, you know, cares of this life, you know, just you name it, you know, it's out there. And, you know, we can fall to that so easily if we don't, we're not paying attention. We lose vision, like you said. We forgot what our purpose is. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know, we haven't abided in 2-3 days or whatever. And we wonder why everything's falling apart.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, shake yourself, wake up. You know, turn the noise off. You know, get rid of all these distractions that's taking you away from your first love.
That's right.
And not only yourself, and later on Jude says in verse 22, he says, be merciful to those who doubt, for those who have weak faith. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even clothes stained by corrupted flesh. So what he's saying there is not only or we have to contend for it, but we got to make sure we help our brothers, that we just don't let them fall by the wayside. And we see that they're struggling, you know, saying in sin or doubt and fear, and just, you know, they're in the haze too. You know, we got to, instead of judging them and criticizing them, you know what I'm saying? Because if we judge, guess what? It's going to come right back on us.
That's right.
You know, we get critical and judgmental, and, you know, I look at him, there he goes again.
Right.
You know, following that same old stuff, but yet, you know, we got the plank in our eye sticking out so far we can't see, or, you know, our nose in front of our face.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He says, show mercy mixed with fear, which means you're going to have a fear of God before you open your mouth, before you begin to think about criticizing. You better look at yourself.
That's right.
Hold on, chief. Look at yourself first.
That's right.
You know, so you walk with fear and trembling when you're ministering to somebody. You know what I'm saying? And
well, that's why we're on VFN Radio now,
exactly
right now. You know, it's the fear of God and it's the love of the church to say, we got to wake up. We got to wake up.
Exactly.
You know, I was actually talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about friendships and what was a true friend. I said, listen, a true friend is someone that's willing to tell you what you need to hear, what you got to hear, at the expense of possibly being offended with them and saying, you know, because you told them the truth. And once you tell them that, you know, a true friend says, listen, even if you don't like me after this, I'm okay with you not liking me telling you the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
A true friend, that's what a true friend's going to do, is say, I got to tell you because I love you and I care about you. This is the deal, you know? And we need that. We need others contending for the faith, contending for the truth, and standing for what God's word is saying.
Exactly. I mean, God's word says, bear each other's burdens, therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So we're not just a bunch of lone rangers. We're supposed to help each other up. You know what I'm saying? What's the scripture where your brother falls? You know, we're there to help him up.
It's Ecclesiastes. Pity the man who falls and has no one to pick them up.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. That's right. You know, yeah, it makes me think about, you know, sometimes, you know, the word tells us that we need to examine our lives, you know, and so when we, and so as you examine your life, you can see, I know, applying to myself, that I can look in different areas of my life and say, well, you know, I'm contending for this, I'm contending for that. But then there's other areas that may fall to the wayside, you know, that some areas that, like you're talking about, you need your brother to point something out and say, hey, you know, look at this, you know.
So, right, because we all have blind spots.
Right, right. Sure. And we need it. And so therefore, you know, we need each other to point those things, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
That's right.
You know, and it reminds me of even in Revelations where Jesus is speaking of the church. He's speaking to the churches and he says, you know, I see your good deeds, but yet still I have this against you. You know, and so we need to fully examine our lives. Are we contending in every area of our lives? You know, because, you know, he talks about, you know, being lukewarm. You know, he'll spit you out if you're lukewarm.
Exactly.
You know, so if you're not contending fully for the faith, you know, that's a dangerous place to be. And so, like you're talking about, John, that, you know, we need our brothers, you know, contending for us.
Exactly.
You know?
Absolutely. Exactly. And the big thing, I think, is sometimes that as believers, sometimes you can't forget that you're in a battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is warfare. Ephesians 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and
blood. Read your Bible. That thing you dust that thing off.
we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That there is a spiritual battle, that there's forces of evil. You know, that and Satan hates your guts. If you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, he hates your guts. And you can understand that he has a strategy and a plan to try to snuff you out. And if you're not aware of that and you're just, you know, skipping down the road thinking everything's going to be all cool and honky-dory, no.
Right.
His idea is to try to get you off of the narrow road and to try to get you on the wide road. And he's standing out there with billboards and signs and saying, come here. And if you're not aware of that, if you're not intending, if you're not on the offense, you know, I always like to say that a great defense is a great offense.
Exactly.
I'm trying to put your shield up every 5 minutes. If you're on the offense, if you're on the cutting edge, if you're on the being hot there with God and going forward and sharing the good news, let me tell you something. You're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But if you're skipping along the way and not understanding that this is a battle, that we got to and it's a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about taking up arms. I'm about, this is a spiritual battle.
Exactly.
If you stay close to the Lord, that you believe his word, that you abide in him, not only will you have what you need to press forward, but now you can reach back and you can pray for others and you can be a shield for them. You know what I mean? And we need more of the contending for the faith in our own life and in the lives of those that are around us that are crying out for God as well. We'll be right back.
You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective,
right,
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
And John 17:23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain,
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, we're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. If you're just joining us at the end of the first hour here, we're just talking about contending for the faith and understanding that we are in a spiritual war. If you have not noticed, you know, the war is on. The war is on, and the enemy has already waged war on you, so you might as well return fire, right?
Exactly.
And
right.
You do that by just walking in the ways of God. I mean, some of the most powerful spiritual warfare you could ever do is walk in the love of God. If we just walk in the love of God and the truth of God, let me tell you something. You can really walk victorious, and you can help other people to be free. And we really encourage you to, if you missed the first hour and you're kind of just joining us here at the tail end, make sure that you catch the highlights, always available to you on VFNTV.com, and you go and select The Torch. Guys, I don't know if you heard this in the news, but this is really, and all you can say is just wow.
Really?
But a huge sinkhole in Florida and Tampa opened up. Not just underneath someone's house, but underneath someone's bedroom.
What?
Yes.
Are you
yes.
serious?
Jeff Bush. Yes. This is what his brother Jeremy says. He says, I heard a loud crash like a car coming through the house. And I heard my brother screaming. And I ran back there and I tried going inside his room.
Mm-hmm.
He says, talks about his wife, I guess, or girlfriend. She turned the light on, and all I was able to see was this big hole, a real big hole, and all I saw was his mattress.
Oh my goodness!
He rushed into the hole with a shovel and tried to desperately move the rubble until the police arrived. And this poor man, his name is Jeff, but they say he's presumed to be dead.
What?
The hole was 20 feet. 20 feet wide
wow.
was the opening, and I believe it went down 40 feet deep.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think about who would think, although that area, they say it has sinkholes and the ground just kind of just opens up underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen it in roads. Normally they say that you can kind of tell when it's about to happen. There's different shiftings and stuff like that. But they've never... One of the men they were interviewing, who the engineering in that area of Tampa, says, we've never heard mm-hmm. of one opening underneath a house, much less someone's room.
Right.
Think about a bedroom. And instantly what I thought about is that this man, he was sitting in this room, maybe laying in his bed. At one point, they say when the police arrived at 11, that all they were able to see was a TV in the bottom of the hole. And... He's just there, and all of a sudden he's no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you know, I've talked to folks about God, and then you know, say, listen, God can come back at any moment. You got the rapture, and where are you with God? Let me tell you something. You could be sitting in your room, and the earth could open up. I mean, the
no
last
doubt.
Thing he thought that the earth is going to open up.
Well, think about it. And then what happened with the Israelites and Moses? I mean,
yeah, Korah's rebellion. I mean, he
God had enough God, of that foolishness.
Yeah. But you know, we're not saying this is, you know, and
mm-hmm.
happened with him, but at the same time too, so many people are so quick to write off things like this that happen and say, well, God can't be involved, you know, but but the idea here is that you never know. You never know when it's going to be your last second, your last moment. Believe you me, straight, you know, he never thought that the earth would open up and he would be gone. We can't be so prideful to think that we don't, that, you know, we're going to be okay and that we're going to live to 100, right? Everyone believes they'll live to 100 and that everything's going to be just hunky-dory. And when I'm ready, when I'm ready, I will give it my life to the Lord and I can turn around and listen. You never know when it's going to be your last day. You know, you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to do that today.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.